everybody in this audience that's struggling with sin, okay? They're trying to keep the law and they can't. And they keep on breaking it over and over and over, struggling. And they're on here to find out if there's more. And there is. There's a lot more. There's perfection. Real perfection. Real salvation. The kind that in church you think about, you know it exists. But you just don't listen because you want to keep trying to go about, establishing your own righteousness by the law. But you're a fraud and a fake and a phony. Why do you go against the New Testament, preach Old Testament, but you yourself can't even keep up with your own law? You're a liar. Romans 6:14 says we're not under law. Why can't you answer what that verse means? Why do you completely dodge it? What does it mean, Melvin? Answer the question. You're just a joke, bro. That's it.
Thank you, Harry. That was 5 minutes.
Do you know like Kent Hovind or somebody that can have, like, you know, a real debate?
You could be like our buddy Joe, who on Monday is going to get train wrecked just like you are. What makes you think he's going to spare you, you little sinner? It ain't going to happen. You're going to get there and you're going to find out that while you sit there as a false Christian trying to mix hot and cold water by saying you're a believer, but yet you still sin. And this is your only warning. This is it, right? You know, deep down in the pit of your stomach, every time you sin, you're not saved. You're a liar. You're a liar. Now you're going to lie.
Disrespectful the way he didn't even listen to one word of Matt's arguments, and Matt made some very valid points. If you ask me, he had very good explanations for like everything. Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Signs and Wonders. We have with us Matt Powell and Perry the Preacher, who you guys both know, I'm sure. I want to thank both of you guys for coming, especially Matt. I've been trying to get him to do a debate for a while, and he's a busy guy. I know, Perry, you're a busy guy, too. So thank you both. And Matt actually had a good idea for a format that he sent me. So if you just want to quickly go over the format, Matt. I'll let you do that. How about, and then I'll get it refreshed and I'll be able to keep all the time and everything. I'll get a stopwatch going.
Sure thing. Well, as far as I know, we have 10 minute opening statements, mm-hmm. and then 2 5-minute rebuttals.
Well, how about first you guys can have like a 2 minute introduction or a 3 minute really introduction. Long. Yeah.
That sounds good to me. Yeah.
Okay. So 10 minute opening statements. And then 5 minute rebuttal rounds, two rounds, 5 minute rebuttals, first and second, and then a 10 minute crossfire.
Sounds good to me.
Whatever works.
Okay, cool. And then we'll save some time for Q&A. And guys, only ask legitimate questions, please. I'm not gonna ask these guys any off topic silly questions. So if you guys have any legitimate questions at the end of the debate, please throw them out there. If there's any super chats, I will address those first, of course. And then with any time left, I'll get to all the questions I can. Okay, guys? Okay, so I think we'll just, Matt, you don't care who goes first. Matt, you want to go first? Does it matter, sure. Perry?
Sounds
okay,
good.
Guys. So you don't need to, and again, if you guys don't take up all your time, that's fine. You don't have to take the full 10 minutes, Perry, or whatever. You can just say, I'm done, and I'll stop the time. So as soon as you start talking, Matt, your 3 minute introduction will begin.
All right. Hey, thanks again, Nick, for having me on. Hey guys, my name is Matt Powell. I run a YouTube channel just called Matt Powell Official. And the main thrust of my channel is just creation science. I do a lot with creation versus evolution. And with people like the Raging Atheist. And as of recent, I've been dealing with a lot of more popular atheists, Michio Kaku, Stephen Hawking, a lot of the big names out there in atheism, Richard Dawkins. And so the goal, obviously, on my channel is to debunk them and to introduce people to content that is logical and rational. And we live in a generation where there's not a lot of rational free thought. And that's what I'm about. I love free thought. I love science. I love the Bible. And I really love salvation.
Me. Let's get to why you can sin and be saved.
So with all that being said, I really don't have much else to say. I'm ready for the debate. Let's bring it on.
Okay, Perry, now you can give your introduction.
Yay!
Okay, you have 3 minutes to give your introduction about yourself, and then after that, we'll do the opening statement.
It's not about me, though, Nick. Here's the
I
deal,
know.
Brother.
Well, if you don't
All
want to take
I hear
any...
I, me, what you do. You know, John 7, verse 18 says, "He that speaketh of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him." I'm here to talk about Jesus and what he did. I don't know about you, bro, but my question here, and because you still have plenty of time, you really do, if you could just take a couple seconds and answer me, do you sin? It's a yes or no.
Well, number one.
Yes or no?
Is that your introduction?
No, I'm not done. No. He handed over time. I'm giving him the time to answer. It's yes or no, because that's what Jesus is going to ask you, bro.
Perry,
what are you prepared to say to him?
You told me you would stick to format, bro. Please be professional.
I am sticking to format.
You guys are going to have all the time for cross-examination.
Right, this is my time. I'm asking him a question.
This isn't a cross-examination.
You actually told me that I would get to ask this question.
No, I didn't tell you that
you
at
did.
All.
I could pull up the Skype messages.
Send it up. You sent me, hey, do I get to ask him this question?
I told you I want to ask
and
him.
And I didn't answer it.
Why are you protecting him?
I'm not, dude. I was going to say, you
do
have
sin?
All this, bro, you're not keeping a format.
Matt,
you're not
you
being
sin?
Professional. It's ridiculous.
This is professional.
Dude.
This
no,
is
I can't answer you. I'd be happy to answer you once you're
Go
done
ahead and
with
answer
your,
him. But like, this is the last
time. Do you sin? Yes or no?
The Bible says he that is born of God cannot sin. And number one,
Boom.
He asked me to introduce
right.
myself. So
but,
I'm going to take
okay.
time to introduce myself because
video.
He asked me to introduce
I don't care.
Myself.
You're
I'm
liar.
Not saying it's all
so
about me.
Do you
I'm not
sin?
Saying it's
yes
all about
no.
me, bro.
No, doubt.
Yes or no? Do you sin?
Dude, be respectful, please, and follow the format
this
of the
is.
Debate.
Well,
no, it's
sin.
Not.
Do
this is not
you
the format.
Sin? Yes
this
or
isn't
no?
the format, bro.
Oh, so we got to worry about format. You just don't want to answer
yeah,
the question.
Dude,
I'll answer
everybody.
Your question. I'll actually, hey, listen, I'll answer your question
Do you?
In the cross-examination. That's what the cross-examination is for.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically you're just dodging this because you know what's going to
no.
come out of my mouth next.
He's being respectful and following the format.
Because
no.
Nixon's.
I'm not protecting him, dude. He's
you're not
following,
saved if you still sin, bro.
He's following
it,
format.
It doesn't work.
That's
you
it.
Already know deep down that you've been lied to. You're sitting there peddling the
rude,
same lies
bro.
To people
so,
over and over and over. It's the
Perry.
Same cycle. Sin, repent, repeat.
Why
sin,
are
repent,
you doing
repeat.
This, bro? Why
it's
can't
garbage,
you stick to a
bro.
Format? Why can't you stick to a format?
It's
of
in
a
the
debate?
Format. This was
no,
my
it's not.
Time. You turned it over to me. I asked him
yeah.
a question.
To
yep.
we'll have opening so, statements.
Opening
okay?
statement.
John
you know
what that
8:34.
Is?
Here's my opening
want...
statement.
Okay,
John
give your...
8:34. Jesus answered them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Those are Jesus's words. Now, Matt, you're here to debate me and to explain to me why Jesus is lying.
His
because
time
if
is
you
running,
still
okay.
sin, that means that Jesus would be lying if you're saved. But you're lying. You're not. And I am. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here to preach God's word. I don't care about what either one of you say.
Yeah,
the Bible
I realize
says.
That.
The Bible says, and you guys bet against it, and you're going to lose. You're going to lose. There's no middle ground. There's no lukewarm. Lukewarm gets you spit out of his mouth. You think it's a joke? It's not a joke. You think you can play games with salvation and teach people that it's okay to sin just to make yourselves comfortable, and you're done. There is no debate. Jesus said what Jesus said. And he meant what he said. Jesus didn't lie. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. Shall he not make good on what he said? If God spared not the angels that sinned, what makes you think he's going to spare you? You're fooling yourselves. I'm here to speak the word. There's no debate. Jesus said, if you sin, you're the servant of sin. And Matt, you're refusing to answer the question. Because you know you do. And at the end of the day, You're just going to prove to yourself that what Jesus said is true. You yield to sin. You are its servant, and it is your master, and you will bow the next time it calls on you because you're a fraud. And the same goes for you, Nick. I'm tired of playing sugarcoat with you. I love you to death, but the reality of it is, by your own standards, you're not saved. By your own standards. By your own standards, you're not saved. And then you still call it sin. You don't trust in Christ. Neither one of you do. I'm ashamed to be doing this.
Well, why are you
but
here?
At the same token, Jesus said what he said, and he meant what he said. And Matt's here to call him a liar. And I want to hear what his excuse is as to why he thinks it doesn't apply to him. And that's my intro.
Okay. Well, that was the intro, I guess. So, Matt, as soon as you start talking, I will begin the clock, and you have 10 minutes for your opening statement.
All right, so first off, I just want to say salvation is simple. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So the Bible clearly tells us that there's simplicity in salvation, there's simplicity in Christ. And so salvation is not a complicated matter. It's actually very simple. The Bible just simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the Bible also says, these things have I written unto them that believe on the name of the Son of God, that they may know that you have eternal life and that you believe on the name of the Son of God. So you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Now, interestingly enough, there were many people in the New and Old Testament, and I'm willing to go into this debate with half my brain, over half the Bible, three quarters of the Bible tied behind my back. I don't even need to use any Old Testament. I could just use the New Testament to demonstrate that a Christian can sin, that we can do wrong, that he that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. That's 1 Corinthians. So you ought to think about that when you come into something like this. When you come in and say, Matt, do you sin? Do you sin? Him that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. The Bible says there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Just man, a justified man. So nobody on this world is perfect. And so the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I'm not righteous. You're not righteous. The only thing that gets made righteous once we're saved is the Spirit. The Bible says that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so, you know, when Jesus was talking about salvation, he made a clear distinction between the flesh and the spirit. And so, you know, once our spirit gets born again, the Bible says that which is born of God cannot sin, for his seed remaineth in him, the spirit, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And so the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ is in me, his spirit. And so therefore my spirit has been made perfect. Now, if we were perfect in the flesh, if our flesh was made perfect, then why would Paul say in the New Testament that we wait for the redemption of our body? Paul says we wait to wit the redemption of our body. Hey, if I was sinless, I wouldn't have to wait for the redemption of my body. If I was sinless, my body would live on forever, because the Bible says that by one man sin entered, and death by sin. And so if my body has sin in it, it's going to die. And obviously everybody's going to die at some point. Everybody's flesh, but the spirit will live forever. The flesh has not yet been made perfected. Otherwise, why would Jesus give us a new body at his appearing? So, Old and New Testament, the plan of salvation has always been the same. And I find it interesting that the Bible says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? And, you know, people come on here and they cheat and they do foolish things, like steal the first opening statement, which I technically was supposed to have, but I'm fine with it. Like I said, I'll go into this debate with half the Bible and half my brain tied behind my back. And we will see in the end
you
about
gave it.
What the truth is about salvation. Hey, you said you wouldn't interrupt. The thought of foolishness is sin. The Bible says clearly that once we are saved, to flee fornication. Paul told the church in Corinthians, he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So when you commit fornication, you're sinning against your own flesh. He's talking to saved people. In fact, Paul kicked somebody out of the church for the sin of fornication. He said, let him be delivered unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of judgment. So the Bible says that his flesh was destroyed. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing, but his spirit was saved. Paul said, I am carnal, but God's law is spiritual. He says, I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So when you said in John 8:34, where Jesus said, he that committeth sin is servant of sin, Paul literally said, I with my mind, with my spirit, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. Present tense. So do you think you're better than the Apostle Paul? Paul literally said that with his flesh, he served the law of sin. Now, he didn't want to. Why else would Paul say, I die daily? What about that? Paul literally said, I die daily. He had to die to his flesh every single day. Hey, folks, we need the grace of God every single day. You know, I believe in eternal security. Don't get me wrong. The Spirit has been perfected. There's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. But the Bible does say, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So if you get received of the Lord, the Bible says he's going to chasten you. He's going to punish you. And it's a continual process, not a one-time thing. The Bible says that as a father chasteneth his son continuously, so shall the Lord your God chasten thee. So in the same way that a father chastens their child is the same way that God's going to chasten us. God is not going to chasten somebody that doesn't commit sin. So I think this debate is already done. I think this is already over. The scriptures nail this home. The scriptures put this doctrine where it belongs.
I find it funny you want it
of hell.
And over before.
I find it interesting that you just continuously interrupt and cheat. The Bible says that people that do that are sinning. So you're sinning right now. The thought of foolishness is sin. So don't cut into my time. I'm going to be respectful and I won't cut into your time.
Hey, Matt, sorry, but this program allows people to unmute themselves right now. So I have to keep continuously muting him if he tries to cut in.
No problem. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Talking to Christians, we deceive ourselves. So you've deceived yourself, my friend. And I'm here to unconfuse you. God is not the author of confusion. He's not given us the spirit of fear either, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You don't have a sound mind if you're going to come on here and cause trouble and mess with Nick, who's the moderator. You're not even supposed to debate him. And then number two, he's given us the spirit of power. Power doesn't mean bullying people. Power means speaking with authority. And so if we're going to have a debate, we need to stick to the format. And at the end of the day, if you don't stick to the format, you're only deceiving yourself because the viewers that are listening to this live know better. And so, Nick, how much time do I have left?
You have 2.5 minutes left. I'll give you a 30-second warning, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Notice how he still hasn't answered the question.
I said that in my flesh, I sin. I sin every day. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin.
Oh, you sin.
Have you hold on.
Okay.
It's not your turn yet, my friend.
Perfect.
So
good.
The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, it says, for the spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the spirit and the flesh against the spirit, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would as a Christian. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. If we were made perfect, why aren't we living on forever? If we've been actually physically made perfect. Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The scripture destroys this false doctrine. Why in Acts 15, if you say there's no law in the New Testament, why in Acts 15, when the Gentiles got saved, did Paul and the apostles tell them? Why would Paul tell him to do that, all these believers, new believers in Christ? And so you have to ask these questions. Saul, King Saul, did wrong. And Saul, the Bible says he turned his back on the Lord. The Lord became his enemy. But the Bible says that Saul's in heaven right now. Samuel looked at Saul and said, Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Saul committed suicide. You can take your flesh. You can do horrible things in the flesh, but the spirit is what gets saved. So my spirit cannot sin. Paul said in Romans 7:24, he says, Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, sinless perfectionists will say, well, he's talking about what it was like when he was a Pharisee. No, Paul said, wretched. He didn't go, oh, wretched man that I was. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am.
30 seconds.
No flesh shall glory in his presence. And when these guys say, you're not under the law, but under grace, if I got pulled over by an officer and I broke the law, the first thing that he's going to tell me is, you are under the law. In other words, I'm under the penalty of the law. It doesn't mean that the law doesn't apply. It doesn't mean that the law is not there. So when it comes to this doctrine, it's important to rightly divide the word. And the last verse I have is that we should rightly divide the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. That was pretty much 10 minutes exactly. Okay, Perry, as soon as you start talking, I'll start your 10-minute time for your first opening statement.
Oh, man. I'm excited. So, Matt, you're free to chip in when you want to, because the reality of it is you're a liar. You don't even know if you're saved. Every time you sin, you doubt your salvation. You're a fraud. You stand in front of everybody. You just admitted that you sin. And Jesus said, if you sin, you're the servant of sin. What makes you think he was joking? You're lying. You're a liar. And you lie to everybody. And you yoke them to the same law that you yourself don't keep. You're what Jesus called a hypocrite. He said, you appear righteous outside, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And as of right now, 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. You said you sin. Guess what that makes you of, bro? That makes you of the devil, whether you feel comfortable about it or not. You're a liar. Romans 6:16 says, know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. So the next time you sin, Matt, the next time you try so hard not to, and then you do, and it's only so little and small to you, you will have proven to yourself that you only serve sin. Shut up, Trump. Now, I would also like you to point out Ephesians 2:15. So you say there's that you're still under law. You sound like Melvin. But let me guess, because you, what are you, Pentecostal, or what are you, whatever? You're just not under the 603 ordinances. You're only under the 10 commandments. So let's look at Ephesians 2:15 that says, having abolished. What does abolished mean? It means gone, decimated, destroyed. Having abolished in his flesh, not Matt's flesh, in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments, that's the 10, contained in ordinances, that's the 603 other ones that Melvin likes, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. The law is a curse. Galatians 3:10 tells you that the law is a curse. Because if you think you're under law and you don't keep the whole thing and you break one, James 2:10 says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So if in your mind tonight, just in your mind, you break a law, you are guilty of all. Because you're still putting yourself under it. You don't trust what Jesus did. You're a fraud. You're a liar. You're telling everybody to keep laws that you don't keep. He calls you a hypocrite. 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, you could be like our buddy Joe, who on Monday is going to get train wrecked just like you are, right? Who says, oh, but it means practices in the Greek, right? Practice. So if I practice basketball once a week or once a month or once a year, it doesn't matter. It's still practicing. So if you sin again, Jesus said you are the servant of sin. Now, Hebrews 10:26 says, for if we sin willfully after, that means after you thought you got saved. I'm just telling you the verses mean what they say. It says, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. After you thought you got saved. And willful sin, man, I mean, we're not stupid. Let's not call blue sky red. All sin is willful sin. You yield to it every time.
You bow. You fight it, and then you do. I noticed you got a wedding ring on. How's your wife feel when she catches you watching? I don't want to hear about it. The truth is, you're a liar and you're a sinner.
I've actually never watched.
You're a liar. You're a liar. You're going to lie? How are you going
to
lie?
But I'm not here to confess my sins to you. This isn't a confessional matter. Booth.
Just let him do his thing.
It's my time. Look how mad he's getting.
Yeah, sorry. That's what I'm
First
saying.
John Perry 1:9 says right. If we confess our sins.
I know Perry said you can chip in, but right? Just let him do his thing.
No, it's good. I heard him. I hear him. He's just making excuses.
You'll have a rebuttal coming up.
He's lying. So, and even if it's not porn, it's something else. He sins. He practices sin every day. He does something that is sin to him, and then he sin, repent, repeats. But 1 John 1:9, you don't want to confess your sin. That's fine. But 1 John 1:9 says you have to, and he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you don't want to be cleansed from all. You want to continue sinning until the day you die. You are literally choosing to sin unto death. Jesus said, if you sin, you are the servant of sin. 2 Peter, let's go to 2 Peter real quick. 2 Peter says, I love 2 Peter. It's a good book. I love Peter altogether. It's a great book. We got Titus. We're going to 2 Peter. He says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, or 2, verse 4. There we go, 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, because he didn't. And he didn't spare the angels that sinned either. So what makes you think he's going to spare you, you little sinner? It ain't going to happen. You're going to get there, and you're going to find out that while you sit there as a false Christian trying to mix hot and cold water by saying you're a believer, but yet you still sin, that if you mix hot and cold water, you can't keep them separate from each other. You get warm water. And Revelation 3:16, right? And now this is all scripture. So you can say whatever. It's just scripture. I'm just telling you it means what it says. But Revelation 3:16 says, so then because thou art lukewarm, because that's what you get when you mix hot and cold water, is warm water, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You are going to get rejected. Hebrews 6:8, which I love. I love it to death. Because every one of them little sins you think you're not going to be held accountable for, Hebrews 6:8 says, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is near unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. That's for you, Matt. That's for you. And then what's going to happen when you keep sinning is you're going to remember my words, because I'm warning you. And this is your only warning. This is it, right? You know deep down in the pit of your stomach, every time you sin, you're not saved. 1 John 3:6 tells you. It tells you right here. It says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. That means you don't sin. But if you do, that means you sin. That means right here, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. You're a fraud. Your parents lied to you, your pastors lied to you, your friends lied to you, and you butter it up with them and you enjoy their presence because you rejoice in iniquity, and you're going to get destroyed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Jesus didn't lie. He said, if you sin, you are the servant of sin. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money or where you're from or nothing. The reality of it is, the next time you sin, you will have only proven to yourself that you are the servant of sin. Because if you could have stopped, you would have. And you know what 2 Peter 2:14 says? Here's what's funny. Or is it 1 Peter 2:14? No, yeah, it's 1 2:14. No, it's 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Well, God's word is pure. He doesn't lie. So it's talking about you. And if it says you cannot cease from sin and you haven't ceased from sin, obviously somewhere there's a way to cease from sin. And I know what that way is. And it's through Jesus. But you're not listening. He says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, which is what you do. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. As of right now, Matt, the next time you sin, you will have proven to yourself You are a cursed child. Nothing more, nothing less. And when you're ready to break and you want to get saved, I'll be the guy you call. Otherwise, when you miss what's about to happen, I'll still be the guy you look for, because I'm telling you the truth. You cannot sin and be saved. I don't know what planet you found that on, but it doesn't exist. Jesus said so. And if you want to bet against him, be my guest, bro. You're more than welcome to sin unto death and die in your sin.
30 seconds, Barry.
Is what it is. Makes no difference. Jesus said, if you sin, you're the servant of sin. Nothing he says is ever going to top that. And if you think you could just sin every now and then, no, homie, that still makes you the servant of sin.
Okay, well, I guess 10 seconds, so we'll just call that time. Thank you very much, Perry.
How much time do I have in response?
For the first rebuttal, we're going to do 2 rounds each of 5-minute rebuttals. So as soon as you start talking, I'll start your time for your first rebuttal.
First off, he says, all sin is willful sin. Well, in the Old Testament, there was a offering that was given for willful sin and for sin that was done in ignorance. So when he says, well, all sin is willful, a basic Bible study will show you that not all sin is willful. There is some sins that are done in ignorance, and that's why it required a ignorant sacrifice instead of a sacrifice for willful sin. So when you said all sin is willful, that's just blatantly incorrect, number one. And then you say, well, you rejoice in iniquity and you don't rejoice in the truth. Well, the Bible says thy law is the truth. Thy word is truth. Thy law is the truth. So I rejoice in that. I rejoice in his commandments. For you to say that they no longer apply and that I'm somehow under the law and that you're under this so-called grace, which you can't have grace without a law. The Bible says where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Well, we need his grace every day. And so in order for grace to be applied, there has to be a law broken in order for grace to be given. So it doesn't make any sense what you're saying. It's completely incoherent. It's inconsistent with the scriptures. It's inconsistent with logic, reason, scriptures, everything. And so you say, well, he that is born of God sinneth not. Yeah, the spirit is what gets born again, born of God. Jesus said that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Jesus didn't say that which is born of flesh is spirit. He didn't say that. He said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. The flesh hath no good thing in it. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so it's important to remember that when you read the Bible, Paul makes a distinction between the flesh and the spirit. He says that they are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would as a Christian. And so if you're perfect, like I said earlier, you should live forever, starting right now, physically, if your body was perfect, but we wait for the redemption of our body. Again, this is part of the New Testament, and it's basic doctrine. This is very basic. And so, Paul said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, present tense, sold under sin. So when Jesus said that these Pharisees were the servants of sin, what he said, Paul literally came along and said the same thing. He says, my flesh serves the law of sin. He literally said that in Romans 7. But with the spirit, with my mind, he says, now I serve the law of God with my spirit, but with my flesh, the law of sin. So once again, there's a distinction between the flesh and the spirit. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but that's clearly what the Bible says. And, you know, the viewers can definitely pull a Bible off their shelf and view for themselves. And, you know, I want to reiterate, you know, just accusing me of looking at pornography, which I've actually never done. I understand that most guys have done that. That is something I've never done. But this is not a confessional booth. This isn't the Catholic Church. This isn't a place where I'm going to go and confess my sins unto you. So this is a debate. This is a discussion. This is where we go to be professional. You know, do you think Peter committed sin when he denied Christ 3 times after his death? Do you think that was a sin? Do you think it was a sin when Abraham, or when Lot, the Bible says just Lot vexed his righteous soul with the sins of Sodom? Do you think that was sin? He that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. And the viewers are not going to be deceived. The only person you're deceiving here tonight,
you're
my friend,
deceiving them yourself. By yourself. You're lying.
So listen, Hold on, you're cutting into my time. I said I wasn't going to cut into your time. So the flesh, if the flesh was made perfect and sinless, like I said, it would live forever. And love has always been a commandment. A common thing that you like to say is, well, love is the fulfilling of the law. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So if you love somebody, you're not going to cheat on their cheat with their wife. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to do things to harm them. You're going to keep the commandments of God. Thank you, Nick. And so Paul said in the present, he says, I am the chief of sinners. He didn't say I was, and you've twisted this in the past, and I've caught you doing it. You said, well, Romans 7 is what Paul was saying when he was a Pharisee. Paul's speaking in the present tense. He says, I am the chief of sinners. So are you better than the Apostle Paul? We ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And if a man think himself to know anything.
Thank you, my friend. That's your 5 minutes. And Perry, as soon as you start talking, you have your first 5 minute rebuttal.
I find it funny that you're really going to get on Nick's channel and lie, right? You're a liar. You're tweaking out. Now you're starting to get mad because I called you on it, and you're a liar, right? You're getting on here and you're lying because you have your subscribers are probably watching this. And the reality of it is you're telling them they're all under law. Well, Romans 7:4, he says that, wherefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, dead to the law. And then if you go down to Romans 7:7, he tells you what law you're dead to, because he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, because once you're under the law, then it tells you you're sinning, and then you keep sinning, and that's what you've been doing, Matt, and then you're getting on here lying because your wife's watching. That's what this is. For I had not known lust except the law. Here's the law he was talking about. It said, thou shalt not covet. Well, that's number 10 in those ones written in stone that he just said that you're due, because Jesus fulfilled it and you can't, and you don't. And you're on here and you're lying. And what's funny, dude, is I don't care what this looks like to everybody else. Tomorrow, in your private time, when your wife's not around and you do what you do, you're going to know that you're the servant of sin, because you're going to fall to it like you always have. And then you're going to know, just in your private life. And then maybe you'll contact me privately, and then we'll actually talk about getting you saved. You say Paul sinned. Paul never sinned. As a believer, no, he did not. Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin, not free from the punishment. No. Because the wages of sin is death. He said, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness, free from sin. If you still sin, you're not free from it. Romans 7 is talking about Paul's struggle with the law, which is the same struggle that you have, because you keep trying to keep it and you can't, and you keep falling and you keep sinning and you keep saying, God, I'll stop, and you keep lying to God. You're a liar, and you're of your father, the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. It doesn't say he that committeth sin once a month, or he that only committeth little sin. No, it says he that committeth sin is of the devil. And I'm King James only, by the way, just so you understand. And that's really just all it boils down to. Paul said, Romans 6:16, know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, all sin is willful. Now you struggle and you struggle and you struggle, but then you yield to it. That's what Paul's telling you right there. You yield to it. You bow to your master. Right. And that's what you do, because you did fully admit that you still sin. So this is what you do. You yield to your master. He said, know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey. Paul called you the servant of sin. His servants you are. Not you might be, not up. Oh, if you just say you believe, you won't be. No. His servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness. Now, you can call Paul a liar all you want. You can even call Jesus a liar. The problem you're going to have now is that I know that you're the liar, because Jesus said, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. Revelation says that if you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you out, right? And now, let's do Matthew 7:23, because I know you're just a baby, right? And you've looked at this verse your whole life and it scares you. I know it does, because it used to scare me too, till I figured out that it means what it says. Matthew chapter 7, verse, we'll do 22 and 23. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, This is you he's talking about. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I want you to watch this word, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is sin. So if you still sin, you're still working iniquity. Now let's look at 1 John 3:6. Let's see how you know you don't know him. This is how you know you don't know him. 1 John 3:6 says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. That means if you sin, you don't abide in him. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Neither known him? Oh, because you still sin and you've never known him. So he says that I never knew you because you still sin. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You're a fraud, bro. You're a fake. And you didn't know you were fake, but you are. 1 John 3:8 says he that committed sin is of the devil. Isaiah 1:28 says he's going to destroy all the transgressors and sinners that forsake the Lord. That's literally what it says. Isaiah 1:28. Check this out. And it's what's coming. This hasn't happened yet. And it's coming. And you're one of them. You're jumping off the bridge because your idiot pastor who sins himself convinced you to follow him to death. Isaiah 1:28 says, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the what? Of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Every time you sin, you forsake him. You turn your back on him and you choose sin. I don't care how much you struggled. You willfully choose it. In fact, I pulled up the definition of willful just in case so Hebrews doesn't confuse you.
Hasn't it been over 5 minutes?
No, not yet.
Oh, no.
Just now.
He really doesn't like this. He really doesn't like it because it says if you willfully sin after, okay, said or done, willful definition.
Time. Because I have to balance out your lies with the truth.
Okay. Why can't you hear it?
You have to balance out your lies with the truth, bro.
Finish what you got to say,
said
Perry.
Done deliberately. How am I balancing lies? I'm telling you the Bible means exactly what it says, and you're too stupid to see it. That's not my fault.
Thank you.
You sin. You're the servant of sin.
Okay, Matt, you can now do your second five-minute rebuttal, okay, as soon as you start talking. I'll give you an extra minute, too, because I gave Perry an extra minute, okay?
You're advocating for sin. Are you dumb?
Okay, go ahead. I'll try and keep him muted as best I can.
All right. Thank you. All right. So number one, ad hominems are not arguments. When you do a debate, you're supposed to actually pitch an argument. Ad hominem attacks don't do you any good. Just a word of advice.
Well, it says you sin.
Satan is the great accuser, right? So when somebody says, well, I think you're doing this, the Bible says to be innocent of evil. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So when you come on here and say, oh, I know you're doing such and such and such a thing, only Jesus knows the heart. Only Jesus knows all things. So you're actually claiming all knowledge when you do that, number two. And then number three, you say, Paul did not sin. I'm quoting you. You said Paul did not sin after he got saved. No, he says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and that his flesh was the servant of sin. He says, with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So you're wrong on that again. And I've corrected you on this three times.
Nope.
So being made free from sin, you say, well, we've been made free
from sin. Yeah, Paul was free from sin.
So that's why he did not serve. Hold on. I didn't cut into your time. You're not supposed to cut into mine.
You sin. You're not safe.
You're not supposed to cut into mine. Okay, Nick, do you want to put the
timer on the pause? No, yeah. I'm trying to mute him. I'll give you an extra minute.
The Bible says the spirit of the subject of the prophets is subject unto the prophets. So your spirit, you should be able to control yourself. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. Control yourself, please. All right, thank you. So you say, he that committed sin is of the devil. Well, Jesus told Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, was Jesus literally calling Peter Satan? No. So Jesus was speaking in hyperbole. He was talking about the flesh that Peter still had with him. And, you know, there's the flesh and there's the spirit. The Bible says that the spirit and the flesh, once again, that they're at war with each other and they are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So, and then you bring up Matthew 7. Well, I love Matthew 7. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then Jesus will profess unto them, I never knew you. That's a great proof you can't lose your salvation. Amen. But at the same token, because Jesus isn't going to say, I don't know you anymore. If you go to hell, it's only because he never knew you. So God gives us eternal salvation. The Bible says in Psalm 89, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, so if they commit sin, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. So God will punish those who sin. As a father chasteneth his son, so shall the Lord your God chasten you. If you be without chastisement, then you are bastards and not sons. So you, if you're not getting chastened by God, then you're not a son of God. If you think there's no such thing as sin, you can't even be saved. Now, I'm not accusing you of having that position, but what I am saying is when you say that the law is done away, okay, yeah, some things were done away. Hebrews 7:14 or 7:12 says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. So, of course, there is a change also of the law. It doesn't say, with the priesthood being changed, the law is done away. No. Let's rightly divide the word here. And then you say, he that abideth in him sinneth not. Well, what is seated in heavenly places with Christ? Matt Powell the flesh or Matt Powell the spirit? Matt Powell the spirit. My spirit is seated in heavenly places with Christ. So my spirit cannot sin. And so when you say, he that abideth in him sinneth not. Yes, my spirit is with the Lord. He sealed me to the day of redemption. And the Bible even says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. If you're sealed to the day of redemption, why would he say, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God if it was impossible to grieve the Spirit of God? It is possible to grieve his Spirit. And all sin will grieve the Spirit of God. That's what made him groan upon the cross when he died, was he was bearing the sins of all mankind. So don't be deceived, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I don't know who all is watching this. I was not expecting this curveball here tonight, but I'm more than happy to deal with this. And we'll go as long as we need. I have a max of an hour and a half. And so we have 45 more minutes to hash this thing out. And listen, Perry, you need to take all of Scripture into consideration and not take Scriptures out of context and twist them. The Apostle Peter said that people would take Paul's writings out of context and twist them to their own destruction, and they would go into the error of iniquity or lawlessness. You say there is no law. The Bible says where there is no law, there is no transgression. Paul said, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You think you're better than the Apostle Paul. You're only deceiving yourself. He that saith he is without sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If we say that we have no sin, so you're telling me that your flesh is perfected. So we are seated in heavenly places with Jesus. Of course he knows us. But if your spirit has not been redeemed and your spirit still has sin in it, then of course it's of the devil. The Bible says that Satan hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So take that into consideration. Nick, how much time do I have left?
Just about 10 seconds, coming up on 6 minutes.
Jesus was tempted at all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus said, there is none good but one, that is God. None good but one, that is God. And that was Jesus. So you're not good, I'm not good, God is good.
That was 6 minutes. And Perry, it's time for your second 5-minute rebuttal. As soon as you start talking, bro, I'll start your time. I think you muted yourself, so.
I'm good. No, we're good. So if you say that Paul preached law, right? Well, then why'd they kill him? If he preached law like you preach, but you don't keep law, you steady break it, you're like Melvin, and then you sin. And because you sin, Jesus said you're the servant of sin. Paul, when they accused him and they were getting ready to kill him, in Acts chapter 18, verse 13, if you say Paul preached law, let me tell you what they accused Paul of. It said, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. So the Bible says that Paul preached contrary to law. That's actually what got him killed. And you know what else? It got Stephen killed too. Acts chapter 6, verse 13 and 14, it says for Stephen, when he got killed, it said Acts chapter 6, verse 13, and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place in the law. Now, verse 14, here's what's funny. For we have heard him say that
false witnesses Jesus... said that.
No. You are the false witness. Verse 14 says, for we have heard him say destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us. Now you said the devil accuses. You know what? The angels actually don't accuse. Peter's very clear about that. He said not even the angels bring railing accusations against sinners, right? But here's who does accuse, and let me show you. Because since you're under that law and you don't keep it and you demand everybody else does, you're what Jesus called a hypocrite. You're a Pharisee. I know you don't like it, but it is what it is because you sin and you got on here and you're lying. That's what makes me sick to my stomach. I know about you, bro. I know more about you than you could ever imagine because that gift that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I have it. You're a liar. You're a fraud, a phony, a fake, somebody who gets up here and pretends, but you don't even know if you're saved. So anyway, we're going to go to John chapter 5, verse 45. He says, do not think, this is Jesus's words. He says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Now you trust in your law, but the law is the one that accuses you. The law is the one that tells you you sin, and you do. You serve sin because you trying to keep that law. That's self-righteousness. Now, Philippians 3:9, right? And we're not even going to go back to Ephesians 2:15, how you just write that verse off, apparently. Somehow that's not scripture. But Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, and be found in him. In who? In Christ. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is what you have. That's what you think you got. And you're a failure at it. And you're a sinner. You're gonna die in your sin. You're like brain dead. I don't understand. You're gonna die in your sin. So, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, let's go back to Romans real quick. Let's talk about righteousness. Oh, do I love righteousness? See, you ain't made righteous because you still sin. You still serve unrighteousness. In fact, real quick before we do this one in Romans, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And I'll give you the short version. 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That is you, Matt, because you sin. Verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. So every time you sin, you prove that you're not born of God. Verse 10 says, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. That's you, Matt. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Now, every time you sin, you doeth not righteousness. You're a liar. Okay, so let's go to Romans where he says that many shall be made righteous. That means made righteous in him. Be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is what you're trying to accomplish, but yet you fail. I'm really appalled that you actually lied to everybody. I expected better out of you, dude. I really did. So Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, I'm made righteous because of his sacrifice, not because of anything I do. But you sure ain't going to catch me sitting up here lying to everybody. And you did. And I'm ashamed of you. I really am. I really thought you had more guts than you do.
Yeah, that's your time, Harry. Thank you very much.
And you're the servant of sin. The Bible.
Thank you, bro. Okay, so now it's time for the cross-examination. Matt, you have 5 minutes. We'll do a couple rounds each, okay? So 10 minutes each in total. So you have 5 minutes to ask Perry questions. And I would really like it if I would try to stick to the format. So you ask the questions and then Perry answers and then it will be reversed. Perry will be able to ask you questions and then you'll have to answer. So we'll try our best to get the format stuck to, but as soon as you start your questioning, I will start your time, Matt.
When Paul said that he died daily, what did he mean in the flesh? If his flesh had to die daily, what does that mean? If his flesh is perfect.
Did you hear that, Perry?
I did. So Jesus said, deny yourself and become as little children. Deny yourself meant deny you had anything to do with it and just trust him in everything. You haven't done that yet, Matt. Paul had to die to himself daily. He literally had to deny himself every morning. Acts, and I would like to answer this with scripture. Acts chapter 24, verse 16, Paul says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience, not flesh, a conscience void of offense towards God and man. That's because Paul didn't sin. So he exercised himself. He had to die to himself every day because just like Matt here, Paul used to be a Pharisee. So if Matt were to actually get saved, he would have to die to himself daily and just trust that Jesus did it all. But Matt doesn't do that. Matt hides his works from Jesus, calls them sin, and because he sins, he's the servant of sin.
He only has a few. I'll let you kind of direct the time because you got only so many minutes to answer questions,
good.
Right?
We're good.
So I have all night. I really don't care. So the Bible says that we wait for the redemption of our body to win the redemption.
But you're not
going to
be redeemed.
Hold on. The Bible says we wait for the redemption of our body. So if our flesh has been made perfect, number one, why aren't we living forever in our flesh right now? And then number two, why do we wait for the redemption of our body if we are sinless?
Because 1 Corinthians 15 says corruption. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Right? So because
you're admitting that we're corrupt in the flesh.
Right. From the get-go, you have to be a sinner to get saved. Matt, as you sit there right now, you're a sinner. You're not saved. Right.
But we wait for that. That's what that scripture just says.
But you're not saved. You're not saved. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus said you're not saved. Jesus said,
you're just throwing ad hominem attacks.
Okay, that's fair.
You're the great
accuser.
Dude,
that's fair, and I'm showing
you.
You don't
want to
hear it. Why would you ask?
If you accuse people, you're just of Satan.
No.
The Bible says there's not a just man upon earth that
doeth good instead
of not. What do you say to that?
To like 2,000 people tonight.
Hold on a second. What was the question?
My question is,
and I know you did.
Is, what does
I know
the Bible
for a
mean
fact you lied.
When Paul says,
and that makes me sick.
Perry,
you think
Perry,
you're a Christian? Listen, you're not.
My question to you is, if Paul said, "I am the chief of sinners," present tense, and the Bible says there's not a just man that doeth good and sinneth not,
and I
how
am
do you
too
respond to that?
It was 15 years, dude. If you knew
you
what
you
I've
were
been through,
wait,
what I've done,
are?
You would understand. I'm just, no, I don't sin
wait,
anymore.
Are you the chief of sinners? Are you?
But
a
I
sinner?
Am the chief of sinners. I probably made Paul look
present
bad.
Tense.
Yeah.
Present tense. So you're a sinner.
Right. But that's
present
not
tense
what Paul said.
No, that's that is
that's
what he
not
said.
What Paul
he
said.
Said.
You're talking
I am
about
the
book
chief
of
sinners.
No,
that's
no,
not
no
the book of Acts.
Okay, well, here. Let's just go back to Jesus, right?
That's the book
would
of
you
Acts.
Like me to bring up
Jesus
the verse and share screen it?
If you sin. If
the viewers can
sin,
research this,
you're
listen,
the
servant
of sin.
The viewers can research this, and they can see that everything this guy is
okay,
saying
they can
is
research
completely
whatever
inconsistent
how about
with the Bible.
Your Bible?
He's that not answering the questions.
What's the question? What's the question
the
again?
Why don't you teach him to go in it?
Why? Okay. Why would the apostles kick a man that was saved out of the church for fornication?
Yeah, there's a question.
But he was saved, though, wasn't he? Because he was puffed up. He was proud about it. Look at the verse.
So is that a sin?
And you're
is
right.
That a sin?
He was saved. He didn't
at least
sin.
He's answering.
They called it a deed. They called it a deed.
No,
they didn't call
the Bible
it a
says
sin
that it was a
they
sin.
They called it a deed.
Nope.
No,
the
it
Bible
doesn't.
Says,
you're a liar.
The Bible
okay,
says.
Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where it was.
Where is it?
1 Corinthians chapter 5.
1 Corinthians
1.
I know we don't have a lot of time.
No.
Paul said.
Matt, let's prove
I'll
you to be
the
liar
for you.
That you are.
I'll quote the verse for you. Do you want me to quote it for you?
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2.
Flee. Listen. Paul said.
No. You're talking about the dude that slept with his father's wife. No. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, and let's prove you're a liar.
Dude,
you're
interrupting me. This is supposed to be my question time
because
where I ask
lying
questions.
You're lying.
The
go
Bible
to the
says, you don't want this verse getting out there.
5, verse
I'm going to quote the verse
already,
right now.
What does
the
it
Bible
say?
Says, flee fornication. Every sin, referring to that situation, that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.
You're not
that's
even reading the verse. Go to the
man
verse. 1 Corinthians what chapter verse 2.
I don't can need I to read it. I've hit his word in my heart.
Oh, you don't need
first,
yeah, you're a liar. It's what you are.
What is it?
You're
what's
flawed, dude. I've exposed
1 Corinthians
you.
Man
shall
what
not live by bread alone, but by
chapter
every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of
right
God.
Yeah, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Guess what proceeded out of his mouth? He said, if you sin, you're the servant of sin. That's what came out
Paul
of his mouth.
Paul said he was the servant of sin. Paul said, I am the servant of sin.
You're a
fraud. Paul, you're saying Paul is not saved.
He never said he was a servant of
sin. More ad hominem attacks.
Never.
Dude.
Romans 8:2 said, I'm free from the law of sin and death. You're out of your mind.
Just throwing ad hominems.
No, you're just
a sinner.
All I'm
doing is quoting the Bible.
Making excuses for your sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. You just said that the Bible called it a sin. I'm about to prove you a liar. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. And you are puffed up. That's why I got thrown out for being proud about it. And have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed. It doesn't say sin. It says deed.
Well,
might be taken away from among you. Right?
No,
and then
the Bible
in 2 Corinthians.
The Bible says in that same chapter.
That is the Bible.
Listen,
this is
the Bible says in that same chapter.
Dude,
all right, I'm going to encourage the viewers.
No.
Viewers, listen closely.
Listen.
Go pick up your Bible, and you'll see
closely.
That he is lying.
Watch
to
his words.
You're actually bold-faced lying.
This is the guy that's telling
you
all
you don't
he's
know.
Never watched porn
you
in his life.
You are lying
he's
on
a liar.
The stream right now.
You're a liar, man.
You're
lying
on the stream, my friend.
I'm going to bring it up so we can all see.
I just read the verse. How am I lying? I just read the Bible.
First Corinthians 5.
Chapter 2. Or chapter 5, verse 2. Yep.
Chapter 5, verse 2.
Let's see who's lying.
1 Corinthians 5, 2, and you, here, let me bring it up here. I'll pause the time for everybody.
Let's put it in any translation. I don't even care. It's still not going to call it sin.
NET is a good translation. I believe it's pretty
don't
accurate.
Care. Whatever okay. it is.
Let's see here. So let's start at the top. So chapter 5, verse 1. Can you guys see the screen? It is actually reported that sexual immorality exists among you. The kind of immorality that is not permitted even among the Gentiles, so that someone is cohabitating with his father's wife, you are so proud. Shouldn't you have been deeply sorrowful instead and removed the one who did this from among you?
Boom. Does it say sin, Nick?
Well,
does
still
it
reading.
Say sin? Here, pull up the King James, the NIV, the ESV.
Or
let's pull them
even
all up.
Even though I am absent physically, I am present.
And Matt, here's a liar.
And I have already judged the one who did this just as though I were present. And when you gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus, I am with you in spirit, along
Matt,
with the power of the Lord Jesus.
Matt,
hand this man over
is,
to Satan for
I
his
hate that we even put against each other. I really
hand
do.
This man over
but
to Satan.
But the reality
Satan
of it is tomorrow when you sin,
flesh so
you
that
know who you serve, bro.
Listen, Perry, you just listen. The viewers
I,
know
I just proved
that
you a liar.
You just got beat here. This scripture beat
I
your
just
false
proved
doctrine.
You to be a liar.
So you can accuse me to be a liar all day.
You
but
just
the Bible
did.
Says in 1 Corinthians that
where?
It is sin.
Where does it say that that was a sin? Where?
Whoa.
Show me. The, you can't. No.
The Bible
he's
says
lying.
In Corinthians.
He's lying because it doesn't.
In the same book, it says.
You're a liar.
Hold on. You got to you
you're
gotta pause.
A liar. I memorized the whole Bible. What? Are you out of your
hold
mind?
On.
Do you have any idea
listen,
what you're up against right now?
Listen,
you're literally
this was
you're
a
literally
of cake
arguing against.
Okay,
my friend, this was a piece of cake tonight. Here, the Bible says in that same verse, because the Bible destroys it. You don't have to be a genius with the scriptures. That to flee fornication in 1 Corinthians says to flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth. Sinneth against his own body. So you're going to say, oh, well, it wasn't a sin here, but Paul said it was a sin over here. Are you kidding me? He said, flee fornication. He says, anybody that's an extortioner, drunkard, fornicator, know not to eat. So
will not enter the kingdom of heaven yet.
And the Bible says such were some of you. So we've been cleansed of those things, of course, but the law still applies. The Bible says, where I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination.
Now we'll try. I'll start Perry's 5 minutes so he can ask you questions, okay? Perry, you got 5 minutes to cross-examine Matt, so when you start asking him questions,
awesome.
I'll start.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay, so whenever you start.
At least he's been good about keeping quiet. I have a hard time doing that, and I own that. So next time I see you, Matt, I want to see your right eye plucked out, and I want to see your hand cut off. Because Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. And you've sinned. And because you sin, you're the servant of sin. So if you intend on getting in by law, you better pluck out your right eye and cut off your right hand. Because if you don't, no, it doesn't matter,
I don't
bro.
Believe that.
You
I don't
sin.
Believe the law will give me
sin. Oh, you don't believe that. But here, didn't Jesus say it? So Jesus can say,
yeah, the law is fulfilled in all of us
right.
who believe. So
Matthew
of course 5, the Spirit 45. Is saved.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So if you still sin, guess what you're not being? You're not perfect. You're
so what's
a sinner.
Your question?
And because you sin, you're the servant of sin. You already know it, dude. I hate
you. Do you have any questions for him, Perry?
I tried getting a hold of you before this to avoid the embarrassment. Bro, tomorrow when you sin, you're going to know that you are absolutely beyond any shadow of doubt. You are the servant of sin. I know this to be true. I am saved. Period. I cannot sin. First John 3:9 says, questions? He's not going to answer any of my questions. Oh, I got one for you. Yeah, I do got one for you. I got one for you. Romans 6:18. Romans 6:18.
For sin shall not have dominion.
No, you got the wrong verse. Don't cut me off. See, that's where you screw up. Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. If you still sin, Matt, are you free from sin?
Like I said earlier, my spirit cannot sin. It's the spirit that gets born. Hold on.
No. The Bible says
that God hath Jesus Christ hath redeemed us from the curse
Jesus
of the law.
Said if you sin,
being
you're
a curse
sin.
For us.
That's what the Bible says.
And so Jesus took our sins away from you and me.
Look at him, and he lied to everybody.
The whole world.
Just let him answer, and then you can
all
ask.
All I'm doing is quoting scripture. Why are you accusing me of lying when I'm just quoting the Bible to you?
You're lying.
Is the Bible a lie? Are you, no lie is of the truth.
So show
the Bible
me
is
the
true.
Verse that says you can be both a saint and a sinner at the same time. Show me.
Paul said that now with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He says, I am the chief of sinners. I'll give you 10 verses.
Wait, where is that verse, by the way?
There is not a
just
man.
Are you showing both?
Romans chapter 7 and Titus. The Bible says, how many verses do you want? I can give you 10 verses right now.
You're a liar, though.
I just quoted scripture.
Because it doesn't exist. You can't be lukewarm. He's going to spew you out of your mouth, out of his mouth. That's what he said.
I would love to go into that passage with you where he says, I will spew thee out of thy mouth.
Let's do it.
Because you're neither
lukewarm
or cold.
That means you're neither
hot
nor cold.
But that's not the format of the debate.
That means
you're supposed to ask questions.
You say you believe.
Well, Perry, why don't you ask him, Perry, what that verse means then? Why don't you make that your question to him? Ask him what that lukewarm verse means.
Let's do this. Let's look at John 8:34. Go ahead. Look at that. Tell Jesus he's a liar. Let's hear you do it. Matt?
I've answered that 4 times now.
No.
Jesus said,
Jesus said, you're the servant of sin.
Is
right?
The servant.
Yep.
Yes,
so
I agree.
If you sin again, what does
but
that
mean? But the Bible
you?
Says that with, listen, Paul said, the Bible says there's not a just man.
Jesus said, if you sin, you're the servant of sin.
Paul said, I myself serve the law of God with the mind, but with the flesh of the law of sin.
But that's you're talking about Paul talking about himself says. As a Pharisee. No, I'm asking you. Jesus
no, that's
said,
not. He says,
if you sin,
currently
you're
tense.
The servant of sin. So if you sin again, what does that make you? Jesus said it, dude. What does that make you?
Listen, my spirit cannot sin because it is
born
of
God. You're lying. You're a liar.
I'm a sinner
you're a
saved
liar.
By grace,
you
my
choose
friend.
To sin every time. It's
and
you that
up.
Chooses to sin, not your
I'm
question.
Answering your questions.
You choose
you're
it.
Just accusing me of being a liar. Can you actually give
but
me
you're
one
lying.
Instance
yeah, you're lying.
Okay, give me one
you're
instance
literally
where
lying.
I lied in this debate. Give me one instance.
Well, you said you don't watch porn. You're a liar.
How do you know that?
You just don't want to admit it? I just do. Trust me, I do. He knows I know. He knows I know. And it's going to kill him tomorrow.
Well,
he's not going to be able to
supposedly
admit to himself that he lied to everybody.
It's 86% of males that do that.
You know, not every man in the world watches porn.
86%.
Well, this guy's one of them. I promise. He's not
but
one
not
of them.
Every
that
man
does
that.
He's one of the ones
just
that
because
does.
You are perverted
I
in your mind.
I already know, dude.
Just because you're perverted in your mind.
I already
so the
know.
The unbelieving is nothing
at,
pure.
That's why he's getting
so the
mad.
Unbeliever is
he's
nothing
mad.
Pure.
His wife can't find out about it, and that's the problem. And you know what?
So,
I bet she has found out about it, and I bet she'd be willing to say he's a liar.
Perry, do you have another question for him?
This is kind of intriguing. I, you know, it's funny when I jump on these debates and people.
He's the servant of sin.
And
Paul said, you want to talk about Paul. Paul said, whoever you yield yourself servants to obey,
you're getting crushed by the scripture.
You ready?
It's not my words. These are the words of Christ.
You sin.
I guess if you want to try again, Matt, you have a second round of 5-minute cross-examination, so you can try and ask him questions.
Okay, well, here. Paul said, "Know you not the to whom you yield yourself servants to obey? His servants ye are." That means, Matt, the next time you sin, you've yielded yourself the servant to sin.
Okay, and so Perry, he's got one round left, and then you have one round left. So let him try and answer the questions, and then you can ask him questions. Okay, bro? So let's try our best, okay? Okay, Matt, you got 5 minutes to ask Perry questions. Go.
I need a good one.
Okay, so if all sin is willful, why was there sin offerings for ignorant sins and then sin offerings for willful sins in the Bible? Why? If all sin is willful.
Did you hear?
It might take a minute, but take your time. He did.
Sounds like there's a bunch of people or something somewhere.
He's going
here.
He's going through.
No, I just didn't know he was done. I thought he had 2 minutes.
Did you hear his question, bro? Or do you need to ask? Does he need to ask it again?
No, I heard him. But all sin is willful sin, and he knows it. As he knows, he chooses it every time. Every time it beckons his call, he bows to his master. He knows he does. I didn't ask what I do.
It doesn't matter, bro.
What I asked was, dodge accountability for your actions.
Why is there a sin offering for willful sin and for ignorant sin?
Right, but aren't you in Old Testament? That was back before, you know, that's Old Testament. I've got the verse written on the board.
You said all sin.
I know what you're talking about.
You said all sin.
But there's only one law. Yeah. So if you break that law, all sin is willful sin. You choose it every time.
Okay, well, the viewer can see that it's that there's
the viewer chooses sin every time. What's interesting is you think you're actually winning.
Here,
James 4:17 says, "To him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So every time you sin, you prove yourself to be the servant of sin because you know to do right and you do wrong. It doesn't matter what it is.
I've answered you on that 5 times.
It doesn't matter.
Paul himself said,
"I
myself serve."
If you break one,
James 2:10.
Okay, yeah, you can keep coming up with all that.
Yeah, we're guilty of all. I understand that. I'm not arguing that. You are twisting scripture. I'm not arguing that. Listen, I'm not arguing that he paid for all of our sins. That's not what I'm arguing. Yes, if you commit one sin, you're guilty of all.
Because you still think you can sin.
And you will go to hell and die in your sins if you believe not that Jesus is the Christ. I'm not arguing that.
You don't.
What I am
you don't believe he's the Christ because you
Jesus
still sin.
Said, whosoever, listen,
Jesus said, whosoever committed sin
whosoever,
is the servant of sin. That's what he said.
Hold on. This is my question. Jesus said, whosoever shall break the least of these commandments and teach men to do so like you do,
and that's you,
shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Why do you
I don't teach anybody how to break commandments. I teach them how to keep them perfectly.
You See, teach against the commandments, not to keep them.
Oh, wait, but that's what they accused Paul of. Remember when they said, this man ceases not
yeah,
to
they were falsely
speak contrary to
Jesus? Well, you guys,
don't
we
you realize it, that verse
Paul,
you
they
quoted?
No.
That verse you quoted.
No.
They
sorry,
were
false. Sorry, guys. I just muted you both for a second. We've had a couple requests from the audience to actually try to follow the formats and actually if Perry could try and answer the questions Matt was asking. I just want to say that because the audience is kind of asking. So if you guys can try your best to stick to that, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay, can I answer the question?
My question is, Paul,
there was no false accusers.
I don't want to.
With Paul, it just says point blank.
Sorry.
Oh, wait, you can't understand the fact that you just accused me of the same thing they accused Paul of? That's what you're doing.
What was the question, Matt? What was the question?
Here's my question. If Jesus Christ was falsely accused and crucified, and they tried to do this same thing to Paul, why would you say that they falsely accused Jesus, but they were not falsely accusing Paul? You said they weren't falsely accusing Paul.
I never said they falsely
the
accused anybody.
They falsely accused
the scripture
him.
Said for Stephen.
That's what the
Stephen
Bible
was the only one that said they set up false accusers against Stephen. Now with Paul, it doesn't say that. With Paul, Acts 18:12 says, and when Gallio was deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, verse 13, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to law. They weren't lying because Paul was preaching the same thing I'm preaching. And you're accusing me of the same thing they accused Paul of, making you the fraud and not me. And it just makes me in Paul's shoes, which is fine with me. It ain't no problem for
Paul
me.
Was dealing
I'm
with
called the devil 5 times a day. You hate me. And Jesus told me that that would happen.
Paul taught against the Pharisaical law. Paul taught against the Pharisaical law.
Paul taught against the law, period.
Falsely accuse him and say that he taught against the law of God. No, he did not. He says, I myself serve the law of God.
Romans 7, 4.
Paul said the law is spiritual. The commandment is just holy good. Paul said, I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law.
So here, I'll let you finish.
That's what he said.
Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead. Let's hear scripture.
Paul said, I give you
scripture that says the law is still alive.
Not my law.
Go ahead.
Let him get it out.
I am.
The Bible says,
I want to hear it.
I give you good doctrine. Do you want good doctrine? Forsake you
good
not
doctrine.
The law.
Where's
the
law?
Bible says.
Tell me where it says you got to keep the law. Show
the Bible
me where
says,
the New Testament
listen,
says you got to keep the law.
Paul.
It says the opposite.
This is crazy. Can you keep
I'm
the
just
format?
Gonna mute,
are you
I'm going to mute the person who's going to not be talking. So you ask the question, I will mute him and then unmute him. Okay. So go ahead. What
Paul
were you saying?
Said, for we know that the law is spiritual, Romans 7:14, but I am carnal, present tense, sold under sin. So okay. He kicked out fornicators. He said to be careful to maintain good works. Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this. If you are perfect, why in heaven are there going to be rewards and you can lose rewards? If you're perfect, how could you lose rewards?
Okay, now I will unmute him. And Perry, please answer his question.
How long do I have?
I'll give you 2 minutes to answer each question.
Okay. So Romans 7:4, Paul says, you are dead to the law by the body of Christ. Dead to the law. Romans 7:7, he says that he had not known sin but by the law. But he had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet, which is number 10 of the Ten Commandments, which means that he was saying we're dead to the Ten Commandments, Romans 7:4. Ephesians 2:15 says Jesus abolished in his flesh even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Romans 10:4 says for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for all those who believe. And then here, let's go over here. You talk about not being perfect. You talk about, oh, you're perfect, this and this and this. Well, Hebrews 10:14 said, well, here, let's do Hebrews 10:10 just so we can get it clear. Said Hebrews 10:10 says, by the which will we are sanctified. That means it's done. Are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. What does all mean? All. Now let's drop down to verse 14 where it says, for by one offering he hath perfected. What does perfected mean? That means made perfect. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. I'm just one of the ones that are sanctified. And this guy still sins. This guy's still a sinner. This guy still serves sin. This guy got on your channel and lied to the entire world tonight. This guy is a joke. It's a joke. You cannot sin and be saved. Jesus said, if you commit sin, you are the servant of sin. Now, he ended that statement with a period. That's John 8:34. He ended it with a period. So the next time that Mr. Matt Powell sins, he's going to know who he serves. Now, Paul, who he keeps arguing about Romans 7, but Romans 7 was to them that knew law because he was describing the struggle with law, which is why both of you find so much in common with it because you're both still trying to keep the law. Romans 7:1 says.
That's 2 minutes. Thank you, Perry. And now I'll unmute Matt now because I'm being fair to both of you. And I'll mute you. And now you can respond for 2 minutes, Matt. We'll just do a back and forth, Matt, until you have to go or whatever, okay?
That sounds good to me. So a couple things. You said that he abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Yes, Ephesians 1:15. They were contained in ordinances and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So the sacrificial system is what that passage is talking about, the sacrifices. No. That's why I said the middle wall of partition was broken.
No, it means
and
exactly
so,
what it's
number one. Okay, come on, says, bro. I'm not interrupting you. I didn't interrupt you. Can you behave yourself, please? So, and you also say Christ is the end of the law. Well, the Bible does say in Romans 10:4, it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So when it says he's the end, that means the goal. Jesus is the goal of the law. It's the goalpost to be like Christ. So you're twisting the words of Paul when you say, oh, it's the end, which means there's no more law. That's ridiculous. The end means the goal. Jesus Christ is the
ridiculous
end of the goal for righteousness. So the Bible clearly says that the end of the commandment is love, charity, peace. So the goal of the commandments are peace, just as the goal of the commandment is to follow Christ. So don't conflate, don't take these scriptures out of context because you, I mean, if you're not confronted with people that know the Bible, they're going to be deceived by false doctrine like this. And I don't want people to be deceived. That's why I came on here tonight to demonstrate that this doctrine is a fraud. This doctrine is a lie straight from the pits of hell. And folks, if you noticed, all my opponent did during this debate, because I know we're nearing the end, was throw ad hominems at me and take scriptures out of context. And I corrected him many times, and I'm done correcting you. Perry, we're done.
I say they mean what they say.
Okay, Perry, you have 2 minutes, and then we'll do the closing statements and try and ask a couple
Romans
questions.
Romans 10:4. Sure. Yeah. Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law. What does end mean, Matt? It means end. End of the law for righteousness.
I just explained
for all those
that.
Who
it's the goal.
No. You're twisting it. It means exactly what it says. You twisted it. You're putting your own interpretation on. I'm telling you it means exactly what it says. Do you see where we have a problem? The problem is that he means exactly what he
says. I quoted other
Ephesians
scripture 2:15. To validate that.
Nah,
point.
Matt, shut up.
Sorry.
Ephesians 2:15 says he abolished in his flesh even the law of commandments. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So 10 in 603. To make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He abolished them for the believer. Galatians 5:18 says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You're choosing to be under the law. And because you're under the law, you fail it. You call it sin. You're the servant of sin. You're a fraud. Okay. Romans 7:4 says, we are dead to the law. What does dead mean, man? It means dead. Dead to the law by the body of Christ. You, sir, are still alive to the law. And guess what you're still doing? You're still sinning. And what's great is, okay, I know all the sinners are going to side up with you because they're sinners and they rejoice in iniquity. But the reality of it is, you, sir, tomorrow when you sin, you will have only proven Jesus to be right, that you serve sin. You're a liar to your wife. You're a liar to your church or whoever you belong to. You're a hypocrite. You tell everybody to keep laws that you don't keep. You're a fraud. Jesus said you appear righteous outside, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And the next time you sin, you will have proved it to be true. I don't care what people think about this. Hey, I already know that
minutes.
Tomorrow
Thanks,
you're going to know who you serve, bro.
Thanks, Perry. Now we're going to do 5-minute closings, and I'll do your closing first. And then, Perry, you can have your 5-minute closing. And then we'll just take a few questions from the audience before you go. Is that okay, man? We'll just do like 3 questions each or something. Okay, so Matt had prepared a closing statement in video form, so it's exactly 5 minutes long. I'll bring it up and share my screen, and then we'll let Perry have his 5-minute closing.
Hey guys, this is Matt Powell. I hope that you enjoyed this debate, but more importantly than that, I hope you see the truth behind the Word of God and behind His laws, behind His commandments, behind His statutes, and the importance of living for God as a Christian. If it was true that our flesh was perfect and that we had no sin after believing in Jesus as our Savior, then Paul wouldn't have kicked out the fornicator in the church in the New Testament in Corinthians. You know, certain things wouldn't have taken place that took place all throughout the New Testament when Paul was dealing with sin. And remember, our flesh is someday going to die, which means that sin is still in our members. Paul said, I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And so Paul daily dealt with sin. He says, I die daily. And so to say that you don't sin is to say that you're better than the Apostle Paul. One thing to always remember is that all throughout the Bible, we see the chastening hand of the Lord. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So, if you're a son of God, you're going to endure chastening. If you were perfect, you wouldn't have to endure chastening, because God is not going to punish somebody that doesn't do anything wrong. He will only punish those who do wrong. And the Bible says clearly to flee sin. The Bible even says in the New Testament, Paul told the church, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So, if you commit fornication and you're saved, you sin against your own body. That means that a Christian can sin, and that
In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. The Bible says, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible says, just Lot vexed his righteous soul with the sins of Sodom. So I don't condone sin. I think that sin should be dealt with. But we can't just pretend that once you're saved, there's no such thing as sin, and whatever you do in faith is okay with God. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the exact opposite. Paul said, do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. The Bible also says, for where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. We wouldn't need the grace of God every day if we were sinless. We need his grace every day, folks. And so, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And if there's no law, there's no transgression, which means that there would be no need for grace. If we need his grace every day, which we do, and there is no law, then there would be no grace given, because there has to be a law that's broken in order for the grace to apply. So, you take away law, you take away grace. So there's a balance that Paul gives us in the New Testament, in Romans and Corinthians and elsewhere, about law and grace. And so don't be deceived by teachers like this man I just debated here tonight. Read the Bible. Read the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says in Psalm 89, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. So God clearly says that if you break his commandments and do the things that displease him, you are going to be punished. In heaven, you could lose rewards. If you were perfect and if you were sinless, you would not have rewards because you've already accomplished everything that there is to accomplish. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. End meaning the goal. He's the goal of the law. You want to be like Christ. If you reach the end, you're reaching your destination. And so Christ is the end of the law. He's the goal. The goal is Christ. The Bible says that we should walk in his steps, that ye ought to walk also as he walked. That's why Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. My spirit cannot sin, but my flesh, in that flesh of mine, dwelleth no good thing. If you want healing in your life, you need to turn from your sins and do as Paul said, die to your flesh daily.
Cool. That was a good video. Matt's good at making videos, isn't he? Me and Matt are going to be doing a collaboration project together.
Do I have the same amount of time?
You sure do, Perry. You have 5 minutes. And as soon as you start talking,
here's what's beautiful.
Start your time.
So
when you go.
Romans chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, which is what Matt's trying to accomplish, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is knowledge of sin. So because you're under that law, you know you sin. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That means the righteousness of God without the law. So Matt is trying to get the righteousness by the law. But Philippians 3:9 says, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is by the law, which is what Matt's attempting and failing every day. 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. So Matt said he sins. It's obvious who you're of, right? And tomorrow when you sin again, you're going to know that Jesus wasn't lying, that you serve sin. Because you continue sinning. You just keep doing it. You can't stop. Have you stopped sinning yet, Matt? Can he answer the question just yes or no? Yeah, have you stopped sinning yet?
If he wants to, Matt, you can answer if you want, bro. It's Perry's time, so it's your time, Perry.
Have you stopped sinning?
Roman says,
have you stopped sinning? Yes or no?
So I think his answer is no, Perry.
My spirit cannot sin.
I think his answer is no, too.
My spirit
cannot
sin,
stop sinning.
Can.
And guess what? The next time you sin, Matt, 1 John 3:6 says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. That means you don't sin. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. See, I don't sin. I'm born of God. I'm actually saved. You, Matt, you sin. You've never seen him or known him. The Bible says so. You're using scripture as an excuse. You're using script. What?
Doesn't it?
Really? How come he gets his whole 10-minute video?
I said I would pause your time, and his video was only 5 minutes. Okay. So, like, you keep bringing up 1 John and all that, but doesn't it say that you have to walk in the light, like Christ walked in the light to have fellowship?
Right. That means perfect. So if you're not perfect, guess what? If you sin again, you know there's no light in you. And you know what? Let's wrap it up with this. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 9 and 10 says, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not. That's me. I don't
sin. Walk in the light. Yeah.
Because he seeth the light of this world. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth. But if any man walketh in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him.
Exactly.
Right? So the next time Matt sins, he will have stumbled. He will know that there's no light in him. He's only twisting scripture to suit himself. He's a fraud. He's a bold-faced fraud. And you know what? I think you're going to be a better debate than the other guy is. But 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, because I got 5 minutes, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. So every time Matt sins, he repents of his repentance. He takes it back. And then he promises God, oh, I'll never do it again. Please forgive me. And then he does it again. You're fat. Look, that's why you're smiling. That's why you can't just admit you're broken. You're a liar. And you're going to keep going. And you're going to die in your sin. You're going to die a sinner, dude. You are literally choosing sin over Christ and what he did. You don't understand because you don't want to understand. All you care about is yourself. But at the end of the day, tomorrow, you're going to sin again. And Jesus said, if you sin, you're the servant of sin. So you're only going to prove to yourself that you are the servant of sin because you can't stop. And 2 Peter 2:14 says, and let's just use this because here's the reality, says having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. You don't stop. You can't stop. You won't stop. You're choosing sin over Jesus. You're a liar. He says, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. You're cursed. You're going to sin till the day you die because you choose it. You're rejecting Christ, and you forsake him every time you sin. You say you're a believer, but you're a liar. You're an absolute liar, dude. I am beyond deeply disappointed in you. I really thought you were going to be more of a man tonight, and you're not.
I'm giving you an extra 30 seconds for me interrupting you, Perry.
So. Extra 30 seconds doesn't matter. Jesus said, if you sin, you are the servant of sin. Nothing he says will ever top it. That's what Jesus said, but Matt says different. So for Matt, it's different. That's fine. Matt can go on its word, but Matt's going to sin again. Matt's going to go behind his wife's back. Matt's going to screw up. And Matt's going to call it sin. And okay, Matt's going to prove that he's only the servant of sin.
Thank you so much for your closing statement, Perry. Thank you.
That's my closing statement.
And Matt, I would just like to say, I like your smile. You got a nice smile, bro. I don't think it's like a cocky thing. He's always smiling.
Smile.
Okay, so let's get to the questions now, guys. I know you guys are both busy men and you don't have all night. So, okay, if you guys got any questions, please get them out now so I don't have to scroll all the way up through the chat to look for old questions. I see one here from Jesse Gilmer. Question, how does Matt explain 1 John 3:9 and how does Perry explain Ecclesiastes 7:20? So let's, seeing how Perry just ended, we'll let Matt answer first. And how much time do you guys think you need? A minute, 2 minutes each for these questions or what?
Just a minute.
Okay, a minute each is good. So I'll start your time, Matt, when you begin.
Yeah, 1 John 3:9 says, "For whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." And so what gets born of God? The Spirit. The Spirit cannot sin, but the flesh can. That's why Jesus said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit." This is the simplicity of salvation. And that's why there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit all through the New Testament. And the Bible clearly says that once you're born of God, you can't commit sin. What gets born of God, though? The spirit, not the flesh. Did your flesh get born again when you got saved?
But then if you sin, you're not born of God.
And so, hey, hold on. So when you get saved, it's your spirit that gets born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And so it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The spirit is what gets saved, not the flesh.
Thank you. That was
and it
1 minute.
Cannot sin. Yep.
And Perry, you'll have the exact same time to respond, so please don't try and interrupt each other, okay, guys?
Wait. He just said he cannot sin, but then like half an hour ago, he said he does. That's a double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways.
Okay, so Perry, you have 1 minute. You can use
no,
the time.
No, that's not what the Bible says.
That
the
is
Bible
exactly
says
what it says.
The spirit and the flesh
says
are
a double-minded
born with each
man
other.
Is unstable Bible, in all his ways. Dude, you're a liar, man.
You guys misquoted scripture before
you
that.
You still sin.
Let's
that's
try and
you.
Get through.
You're
try
choosing
get through the
sin.
Questions.
You
we'll
say
get through
it's
the
your
questions.
Flesh, but it's you. It's
Come
you.
On, bro.
You choose.
Let's try and get through the question. We're waiting. Okay, guys. So, Perry, you have a minute if you can answer this question.
Ecclesiastes 7:20.
Yeah.
As soon says, as you start there talking. Is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And it's absolutely correct. That's why he said that he concluded that all are under sin. Right, that was the whole point of Jesus dying, was to conclude all under sin. He leveled the playing field. So he said, now if you sin, you're the servant of sin, but if you find me, now you cannot sin anymore. Right, so the people that are actually saved, 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever born of God does not commit sin. So every time this guy sins, he proves he's not born of God. But he says, whosoever is born of God cannot commit sin. If you're born of God, you cannot commit sin. I cannot sin. It's not possible. But Matt here, he does sin. And then he says he cannot sin. And then he does say, he says he does sin. And then he pick up his mind because he's a double-minded man.
Okay, so that was pretty much a minute. Thank you so much, Perry. Next question from James Smith. And Matt, you can go first. A minute and a minute each. Question for Perry, but I'll let you guys both respond. Perry, you can do it first because the question's to Perry, and then Matt will respond. So question for Perry. Can someone commit pedophilia in faith and not have it be a sin for them?
Am I good?
Yes.
Romans 14:23 says, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever, what does that include? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now, I got another one to go with it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, which I know Matt would never...
So your answer is yes? Your answer is yes.
Hang on. No. Colossians 1:20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things." That means all.
Okay, so your answer is yes. Himself,
by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now I get one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7.
Yeah, but it's kind of a yes or no.
Right, but it's not.
Yes or no.
Though it's really not.
But Colts
okay,
always
well,
have
yes
to explain
or no.
it away.
Matt, yes or no, do you sin? You never gave me a yes or no.
Okay, so Perry, so pretty
yes
much
or no, Matt.
You said yes,
no,
right?
2 Corinthians 13:7 says, "Now I pray to God that you do no evil," which is what I do. I pray to God you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved because we don't
I think
have
it's my
to.
Turn to speak.
Yeah, it's been right. a minute now. So
but that you should Matt, do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates.
You should do that which
even
is honest.
Okay, go ahead, respond. You have 1 minute.
So when you say whatsoever is not of faith,
every
is
time
sin,
you sin, Matt, you do that.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Start the timer over. Whenever you say whatsoever is not of faith is sin, which is what the Bible says, the Bible clearly says all thy commandments are faithful. Faithful. All of his commandments are faithful. And so we're to keep his commandments, and there's no such thing as committing pedophilia.
Why does it say he abolished
them? Faith. Hey, hold on. You're quoting Ephesians and taking that out of context. The Bible says that all of his commandments are faithful, and that anybody that harms a little child, Jesus said it's been better that a millstone were hung about their neck and they were drowned in the deepest sea. That's what Jesus said. if you harm a little child, it'd be better for you to have a rock chained around your neck and you drown in the deepest sea. The Bible says that all his commandments are faithful. So when you say, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Yeah, absolutely. The commandments are faithful. The commandments say not to commit that. And the Bible says there's no temptation taken you in the New Testament, but such as is common to man. Pedophilia is not common to man. That's only for those who are reprobates and disgusting perverts that were never
saved. Okay, so that's your minute, Matt. Thank you, Perry. This is from Melvin, but I'm not going to have you read the entire verse. I'll just ask it as a question. So he wants you to explain Proverbs 28:7. Whosoever keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. So how do you explain that verse? You have a minute when you start your talking. And you've muted yourself, so whenever you're ready, just unmute yourself and I'll start your time.
Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. Yeah, whoever keeps it perfectly. How can I break when I'm not under? See, this guy, Matt and Melvin, they both say they're under law, but neither one of them keep it. So they don't keep it.
I don't claim to be under the law. I've never said that.
You did, though. Oh, wait. So, I never said that. Dude, you're really backwards. You're one way one minute and another the other. Are you under the law or no?
The Bible says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law.
We're no longer under the
penalty of sin. The law, right. Being under the law is being under a penalty. Sin. The penalty is gone.
Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. So if sin shall no longer have dominion over you, why do you sin, Matt?
Okay, so this is supposed to be a question from Mal. So,
No. This is, come on. Let's get to this. Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. So if it shall not have dominion over you, why do you still sin, Matt? I don't.
Okay, well, that's a minute. So, Matt.
Did we stump him finally?
You have 1 minute, Matt, to respond to this question if you'd like.
The verse you're quoting is in Romans, and it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. Well, I'm not under the law. The Spirit has been freed from the curse of the law. The Bible
says,
then
why do you still sin?
From the curse of the law. You're cutting me off once again.
Please, quit interrupting, dude.
Right, because he's not answering why he
still
sin.
Jesus has freed us from the curse
of
the law.
Perry, why can't you control yourself?
Perry, what the heck, man? Like, can you
because
abide
he's
by
lying.
Rules?
It's so unprofessional.
I'm quoting scripture. You're very unprofessional.
Right, yeah.
And this debate, you're turning this debate into a total joke.
You're
but
the
please,
joke.
Please, quit cutting them off.
And
please,
you say
please.
You're saved. You're a liar, Matt. And tomorrow when you sin, you're going to know
who he is without sin is a liar and the truth is not in him.
I sinned for a lot of years.
The truth is not in
him. I really did. I don't say I'm without. I say I've been saved.
Go to the next question, okay?
You Matt. Do say you're without. Okay.
Matt, we'll go to the next question because that will never end, okay? Can you read Romans 8:2? This is from the server. It destroys your interpretation of Romans 7:25. A believer doesn't serve the law of sin. The flesh profits nothing. We are perfect because we abide in Christ by faith. I take it this is one of Perry's friends. So he's saying Romans 8:2 destroys your interpretations of Romans 7:25. So maybe we can.
I don't really understand his question, but I will say the Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So the Spirit, yes, the Spirit has been renewed. I've been over this a million times now.
So how does Romans 8:2 destroy how does Romans 8:2 destroy your interpretation of Romans 7:25? Is the question.
It's a ridiculous argument to say that Romans 8:2 is somehow going to debunk other scripture. I thought we were supposed to divide
scripture
properly.
It doesn't agree with his idea of it.
No, that's not what I said. I'm pointing out this straw man. It's a straw man, and that's another ad hominem.
Yeah, that's what Jesus stepped in to
that's
do.
That's all you've thrown
He's
this
a propitiation.
Whole logical fallacy
He's a propitiation.
After logical
what
fallacy.
What is a propitiation, Matt? If it's not a straw man, what is a propitiation? What did Jesus step in to do?
This is you're a Q&A,
Jesus a
and you're stepping
now,
into
dude.
My time
Are
again.
You out of your mind?
So I'll do one more question, and then I'm done with you.
Okay. Hebrews.
Here, can I do one? Can I just ask him a question?
Go ahead.
We're done. Oh. We're done asking questions.
I don't know what happened. He must have lost himself there.
I'm done interacting with him. I'm actually going to upload a compilation of my channel of him failing to answer questions. And actually, of the scripture, I quoted a million scriptures. I probably quoted about 200 scriptures tonight. And every single time he's like, you're lying, you're lying, you're lying. Look, no lie is of the truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Thy word is pure. All of thy commandments are the truth. All of thy commandments are spiritual. And so, of course, it's spiritual to keep God's commandments. This guy is completely off the rails.
No, no, no. I'm not off the rail. Here, it says sin shall not have dominion over you.
I just explained that.
Sin,
I literally just explained
sin
that.
Still has dominion over you, doesn't it? Answer
in
the question.
In my flesh dwelleth no good thing.
And that's okay.
My spirit
because
cannot.
Because Jesus
sin.
Said, you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, depart from you that work.
I don't agree with the language on this question, but I agree with
it
that
doesn't
question.
Matter, bro.
Yeah,
the Bible
I don't
says
agree
what
with
it
the
says.
Either.
Messed up. That is perverted. The Bible says there
be
some that
perverted.
Pervert the gospel of Christ.
You have perverted it.
And you are
think
yeah,
you
the
can
pedophilia
sin
thing.
Here, I'm calling
up.
You out, man.
The
you are perverted
okay.
in your mind.
Well, Jesus,
you are perverted in your mind.
First
that
Timothy
you think
2:4.
That pedophilia is okay as long as
whoa,
it's done
whoa,
in faith.
Whoa, bro.
That is wicked.
Whoa.
That is satanic.
First
Paul
Timothy
said there's no temptation
4.
Taken you, but such as is common to man. So you're twisting scripture, and I've debunked
2:4
every argument
says
you made tonight
he died
thoroughly.
For all
and anybody
men.
Can watch through this whole video and
judging.
See
look how he
I
judges.
Have thoroughly, with the power of God,
look how he judges.
Debunked your argument.
While he goes home
so
and watches porn
arguments.
And lied to everybody.
Nobody
tonight.
Is going
to
believe you.
Matt, you're a liar.
Here's
you're
a
liar.
Question for you, Perry.
I'm not lying. Nothing.
Here's a question from Colin Anderson. Have you
been
drinking
alcohol?
And
if
you lie, are you lying in faith?
Aren't
active liars of their father, the father of all lies?
No, I'm tired. I was at the hospital for 4 days. Then I preached for like the last. I'm dead tired.
Okay.
The reality of it
what
is,
about
man.
The other part of the question?
Okay.
So I just want to say to the audience before I take off out of here, anybody can see through the lies that were spoken on this guy's side tonight. Anybody can. All you have to do is pick up the Bible and see it. Read it in context. Piece of cake. You guys have a good night.
I think you have an adorer there.
That's my wife.
I know. That's what I was saying. He's a cute little guy, isn't he, Francis?
Bless her heart. I love you, honey.
I seen that video that you guys made. That was pretty cool. How you guys met and stuff.
Marriage was worth the wait, and only perverts will say, you must be in sin. They accuse you of the things that they themselves are guilty of. That's what the Bible says.
Okay, that was it. He was done, so... thank you, Perry, for coming on, and thank you, everybody, for being here.
Yep.
You got your debate
can't
coming
up. Can't be saved.